Hello, America. Dave Hodges here and Doug Thornton, and I'm from the Common Sense Show. Doug is from the American Vindictus Show, and together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and we got a lot of stuff on the table to talk about. Before we get started, a couple of things about us. First of all, I represent Noble Gold, and I will tell you, I see real clear signs that they are trying to crash the system. If you got retirement in the bank, Dodd-Frank 2010 says you're in trouble. They can take your bank account. Folks, there's 40 days left. They can do mischief. Don't let them do to you what the globalists of the day did to my mom's family in 1929 when she was a little girl. They went from riches to rags. And you've heard me tell the story. I mean, on my mom's side of the family, we come out of the Henry Ford side. Pretty prominent. A lot of politicians didn't save them from the collapse, though. So Noble Gold can save you. Noble Gold can definitely protect what you have earned. And so how do you get started? Well, let me send you a free information packet. DaveHodgesGold.com. That's where you go. DaveHodgesGold.com. I wouldn't sit on this. And Doug, do you have any trainings coming up now, for self-defense?
No, we postponed all of our trainings. They'll start back up again next year in March. So the next three will all be in Tennessee. So be paying attention to vindictivesolutions.com and we'll be posting stuff on that soon.
All right. I heard some good things about the training. I mean, not just from you, but I mean from other people familiar with it. I wanted to ask a question before we jump into stuff here. I've heard Jamie Walden's name again, friend of the show, friend of you, friend of both of ours. Utmost respect for Jamie, combat veteran, folks. One of the first guys into Baghdad in the Gulf War. But the rumors are he's going to DC to be a spiritual advisor. I don't know that that's true. Can you shed some light on that? Because I want to get a hold of Jamie and I haven't been able to.
I know Jimmy was asked about it. I don't know very much more after that. I mean, we briefly talked about it, so I don't know if it is or if it isn't.
Okay. Well, I think they could certainly make a worse choice. I think it's an excellent choice. The bad thing is you got to live in DC. Sorry, no offense intended, but I wouldn't want to live in DC. Nice place to visit during the day. Not a place I'd want to be to live, but what an important job that is. It really is.
Exclusively during the day. DC has gone downhill.
Well, look who's in charge. Bowser, one of the co-conspirators for the 9/11 riots.
King Koopa.
Not going there.
Do you think for the inauguration and January 6th and all that happening all over again, that the Biden administration will set up their citadel like they did last time?
I don't know. What I'm worried about is a real targeted event towards the principals. I am worried
Well,
about
it's,
pulseful
yeah, I
action.
mean, the, you know, well, of course, the more we have these high profile events, the more the risk comes, and law enforcement knows this, the more the risk comes from having these targeted events with mass casualty, lone wolf gunmen, then you have terror cells that could be operating, not just internationally, but now we have to talk about domestic. And I mean, that's a whole show within itself when we go to talk about the violent extremist left. And you can never forget the category of the violent extremist right. Both sides have extremism, both sides has idiots in it. But the violence typically, I would say 90% of the time, comes from the left. And it's interesting to me that Donald Trump running for all of this year, we haven't had one violent protest. We haven't riot. We haven't had any type of truly violent encounters besides the targeted attacks upon Donald Trump, but we haven't seen the mass volume of the outcry from BLM, who actually supports Trump now, or the George Soros types, which George Soros' own son supports the nomination of Donald Trump now. These events I find to just be
I can't believe it's
odd.
true, though. I know what you're saying. I've heard it too.
Yeah, it's on Twitter.
I
It's on
know,
the man's
but
Twitter again.
Soros' son, do you really think it's sincere?
I of course you don't know what you don't know, but
That's
I can
true.
tell you that I don't trust any of them, especially what I see coming off the internet. And I don't know how much involved George Soros' son was in the extremely scandalous, I would say, related to domestic terrorism events that his father was included in. But if he's not going to be like his father, then he's going to try and separate himself as much as possible. I don't see that. I think typically the apple doesn't fall far from the tree with these type of people.
That's my point.
But here's the thing though. We've got this big NES level event, and the amount of people are going to show up, the amount of law enforcement and military that's going to be there, the security is going to be extraordinarily tight. I was there whenever Trump was actually first sworn in 2016 at his inauguration. It was stupid cold. We were there, I think, for an entire week for a few days to build up to it, and then a couple of days afterwards. And the security apparatus that's there for the inauguration is extraordinarily tight. The FBI is all over the place. Secret Service is all over the place. Anyone that is in federal law enforcement typically is going to be there. The uniformed police are going to be all over the place. Metro DC is going to be working their butts off. You got the tunnel teams who are going to be working their butts off. You've got the K9 explosive detection system teams that'll be there. The biggest threat, let me tell you what I think the biggest threat actually is. It's not so much from the ground anymore.
I
I
agree with
think
you.
the biggest threat comes from the sky now.
Drones.
And here's the thing, with what we're able to do, because we did this when I was still in federal law enforcement, with what we're able to do with geofencing, we can set up a cordon around an area. It really doesn't matter how wide. And you use the FDA, excuse me, FDA, you use the FAA to set up a geofence cordon. So no flight traffic that's not authorized, especially something that's low yield, like personal use drones, actually can go in there. And if it does cross that geofence, because here's the thing, if you buy any type of commercialized drone off the internet, out of any big box store, and you didn't completely deprogram the programming, unless you made like a ghost drone, and then typically, if it comes from a big manufacturer, it's this the apparatus for the FAA geofence is already built into it. If you approach an FAA geofenced area like federal courthouses, military bases, should be airports, but there's lackadaisical coverage and everything, then it'll tell that drone not to go any further and to turn back around. And it also pings itself. So any authorities that are within that area are also should be, if the system works, notified of that flight path.
What's the
We
range?
were
I wanted to ask them, what's the range?
honestly, the range could be whatever they want. The range could be whatever they want. When we were in Portland, the range was pretty much the federal courthouse downtown area. Our agency actually led the first ever prosecution for a drone that was used to actually penetrate into the FAA secured zone. So, I mean, drones can do it, and they can be tracked, and they will be tracked. And the moment I'm not going to get into security operations; it's very complex, and I don't want to, tip the hat to anything. But let's just say, if your drone's in the air, it's being seen. If you're in DC, you're not going to be able to put a drone in the air. At least you shouldn't be, because for one thing, typically you have to get a permit. They're not going to issue out permits. Like I said, if there's a drone in the air, it's a big deal. That's a big problem. Here's the reason why. We know that personal use drones have been known to be mined. They have been known to have tamper switches that can self-detonate once they're messed with. By anyone who's not the operator, you have the ability to have those drones weaponized. So you have the dive bomb attack. It doesn't even have to be, honestly, built for exploding. It just be used to be dive bombed into somebody. The another one I remember before I'd got out of DHS, one of the things that come down the intel pipeline was there was the threat, and now it's been out for years now, but the threat possibility that you could have terrorists use the drone to carry biological weapons and
Right.
disperse it over a crowd. Right. So that's common knowledge now. And is the application out there? It absolutely is. There, I mean, drones are now used for irrigation. So, you know, it's a scary level of warfare. I would say that Ukraine is the best place to look for how terrifying this new level of warfare. It's like a sixth generation warfare now, this use of drones. So to me, I think the use of drones, the lone wolf gunman, the drop bag that could potentially have explosives in it, like the Boston bombing event, or to have something potential like a vehicle ramming situation. That's the top four that I see. I don't see there being an assassination team of Iranians and Chinese and all this. I've heard so much stuff about this that they're walking around with man pads. They're waiting to shoot Trump out of the air. Good luck with all that and trying to knock down Air Force One and then the jets that fly beside it. But yeah, that's kind of some of the things that will most likely be watched right now. Outside of that, it's the usual, you know, charlatans that'll be out there, petty crime, some sort of possible violent crime could be happening, arson, any type of defacing of government property is most likely going to happen because you're going to have anarchists there, you're going to have communists there, so that'll be watched and. There'll be someone there to surprise you when you're not thinking, because everything in DC is watched, and there's a camera facing every angle on every street corner, and
Yeah.
it's powered by some very dangerous people in the government. So
So
careful
much
what
for
you.
the pipe bomb mystery, given that. But I want to make a point here, Doug, where I'm really concerned. Over military bases, drones flying, and there's no indication they're intercepted or anything's done with them. And one, I know we could bring these drones down. There's no question in my mind about that. So my question is then, why aren't we bringing them down? And is this a dress rehearsal for an attack on Inauguration Day? Speculation question.
It's a good question. I suppose you've seen all the footage that's come out about New Jersey. Some of the things that's interesting about that is that these are drones that people are saying, you know, they're car-sized drones. The government does have drones out of that size for surveillance, hopefully for surveillance only operations. What's interesting about this is that it's been witnessed for over a year in that area. People aren't calling them drones, they're calling them UFOs. There's some strange formations. They make the triangle formation, a bunch of other stuff like that, like the TR-3B UFO. But what's interesting is that it's flying over nuclear facilities, nuclear reactors. It's flying over military bases. When I first joined DHS, I was stationed in Camden, New Jersey. So I know New Jersey very well. And I mean, you talk about New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, that part of Pennsylvania. That's a heavy cop presence area. So, you know, now the FBI is involved with that. And good luck, FBI. I hope you finally decide to do your freaking job for once in the last 10 years. But we'll see what comes of it. I think they're drones. I don't think they're UFOs. I don't think they're aliens. I don't think they're flying demons, all this other stuff. I think they're just drones.
I agree, but who's controlling them? That's the question.
It's a very good question.
Deep
Is it
state, false flag is the top of my list, Doug.
Well, I mean, if there's a drone, it's being launched from somewhere. If it's being launched from somewhere, it's being seen by the FAA, unless it has any of the systems in it that is supposed to be pinging itself so the FBA FAA knows where it's at. And if they're not using proper flight manifests, all that type of stuff that should happen when an aircraft gets off the ground, we should know everything about that aircraft, right? So that's personal, commercial, or military. But if that's not being done, if we can't trace back who owns it, where does it come from, then the next order of questions is, how do they keep showing up? How is it flying? And here's actually the most important thing. How is it flying and being stationary in one area? I remember one lady saying she went to bed. She woke up at 2 and 4 in the morning and they were still above her. And when she got up at 6, they were still there and then they left. I mean, that's, you know, let's say that's close to 6 to 8 hours of flight time being stationary and nobody's raising alarms about that. No helicopters are going to investigate. Nobody cares. I
Yeah.
have to be very lazy policing, or it's the X factor that we don't know.
Well, I think it's a little more than an X factor. We know that Arizona's been tagged as ground zero for terrorist activity. And in that, and I'm going to go back and say the military sources I've consulted with Doug about what I'm about ready to say are unimpeachable. They're the best there is, at least from my perspective. Here's what I know. Since last April, and this got mainstream media coverage. This is what's amazing. Of course, they suppressed it. And it wasn't supposed to come out, but it got mainstream coverage on Fox News 10 out of Phoenix. Drones flying all over Arizona. They don't know where they're at. And here were some things that were reported. First of all, drones aren't allowed to go over 400 feet when they're privately operated. Okay, they were flying between 7 and 20,000 feet above the ground. Secondly, Davis-Monthan and Luke Air Force Base were the site of a lot of this stuff, and they scrambled planes to intercept. One of the drones actually ran into an F-16. Fortunately, nothing happened to the pilot. They are often seen at the border, and they're seen along typical drug corridor routes coming out of the border, like where we know tunnels exist and so forth, and they're flying over those areas specifically. What I reported on this was before, I think it was just after the election. And the speculation is pre-inauguration, all hell's going to break loose in Arizona, and they're flying around, and this is what my best source told me, and you know who I'm talking about. He said, Dave, I've looked at some of the patterns that get reported. They're testing our reaction time. They want to know how quickly we can come and intercept and stop them. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Do you got a reaction to that? Doug, do you have any info on that?
I mean, I don't have any info on it. My reaction is kind of, let's just wait and see. I've been paying attention to this since it first came out. If it's down there on the border, is it something from the cartel? Do the cartel have access to equipment like that? Absolutely, they do, because they can get it from Iran, Russia, or China, or Ukraine now. So I don't. Once again, I don't know what those drones are doing, but if it's cartel related, typically that drone is used for two things. It's used as an aerial mule, or it's used for surveillance, counter surveillance. And not only that, they're also using these drones for jamming radios for local law enforcement, state and federal. So I mean, any drone that's in the air that's above a restricted area needs to be dealt with. However it is that they deal with it, it needs to be dealt with. Because if we just allow it and allow it and allow it, well, eventually, if it is an enemy drone, or if it is some sort of a threat actor's drone, well, I mean, we're giving them permission to use the damn thing if we eventually don't do anything about it. So I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air about it, because part of me, Dave, is like, I don't want to give the government any more permission to do any more things than they already do, when they typically do questionably. That's a good word to use right now. Outside of that, I want my government to do something. I want my government to protect its citizens. I want my government to get off its ass and do its actual job. Now, if that drone was flying around and it was saying, you can't be transgender, or something against the new Green Deal, I'm sure we'd go out there and we'd take it out with a hellfire. But outside of that, it's like the balloons. Are we just going to sit and watch the damn thing go from West Coast to East Coast, or are we going to actually intercept it, take it down, capture it? Are we going to try and figure out whose it is and what they're doing? So I don't know, man. Is it
Something's coming.
is the one that's in Arizona flying over the Three Sisters nuclear facility?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
And
it needs to be.
also
It
the two
needs to be put
largest
down
air
to the sky.
bases, Davis-Monthan and Luke Air Force Base. And the F-16 was collided with over the, I'm not supposed to know this, but it was over the Luke gunnery range along I-10. And guess what's on that gunnery range? Chinese-owned solar energy farm. Surprise, surprise.
I'm super shocked.
Yeah, I'm not super shocked. I look at this as an attack pre-inauguration possibility. Now they did, I do know for a fact, they scrambled jets, and I've got this on very good authority. They did intercept an observation. That's where the F-16 collision took place. They kept that out of the news. There was no attempt to bring down the drones, much like the balloon that you mentioned. No attempt whatsoever. To me, it's no question. You shoot them out of the sky when it's safe to do so. Not over a populated area, but shoot them out of the sky when it's safe to do so. I can't believe they didn't do that.
Yeah, you gotta ask yourself, what is the intent of whoever is flying the drone? And then what is our intent? It's to me, it's either kill or capture it. I don't care if you kill the damn thing and then you can let the nerds piece it all back together. That's the amazing job that some of these guys can do. So the Three Sisters nuclear facility is the biggest nuclear reactor in America. It's one of the biggest prime targets for terrorism and probably other threat actors like other nations out of almost anything else in the United States when you talk about infrastructure. So it's a prime thing that you'd want to hit. And if they're flying over it saying, okay, well, we'll just send this drone today and see what happens, and nothing happens, and then where's the drone going back to? You can track the thing.
Exactly.
Especially if it's very large.
Well, we do have an answer on that. Let me ask you the question. Where would you guess they're flying back to if you were to make a wild guess?
Area 51.
That's a good guess for some of them. Some of them are headed into Mexico.
Well,
Yep.
if it's heading into Mexico, then we shoot it down. Or we find where it's landing and then we go and say hi to somebody.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this 3 weeks ago, I believe, and I've got two very good Border Patrol sources. One Border Patrol source was on scene when this happened. It was in the Yuma sector, but east of Yuma, heavy cartel corridor area, and across the border, there were all these armored vehicles, a couple of dozen, they estimated. There were lights on. They could see it pretty clearly. They called the Naval Air Station at Yuma. They wouldn't take their call. I'm talking Border Patrol did. They wouldn't take their call. They called Davis Monthan. We'll get back to you. We're looking into this. But they never got back to him. And here's where it ended. And Paul Preston has this information too. Paul and I talked the night it happened because I called him immediately when I got that report. And the person who gave it to me said, "Dave, we need to put this out. This is serious." These people were preparing to retreat from their posts with the Border Patrol because they thought they were going to get overrun by armored vehicles coming across the border. But it wasn't enemy armored vehicles. As Paul and I have learned, it was our stuff. Now, we have to get into speculation because my best sources don't know the final answer. I think, and I want to get your opinion on this, if we're operating armored vehicles, and I was told it was probably a white hat military operation acting outside the control of Biden, if that's the case, they're going after the cartel if they need to when Trump takes over. That's my guess. Do you have any info on this, or do you have any speculation as to what I just told you?
So I don't, I, this is just me being as bluntly honest as possible. I have not seen any white hat good guy operating secretly outside of the chain of command operations. If it happens, we're not supposed to know about it because it's supposed to be secret. If it does happen, and that's our boys that cross the border in, big giant armored vehicles, most likely Bearcats, MRAPs. Well, I mean, that's not good. That's an international event. And any type of international incident, I mean, you're looking at super scrutiny from DC. They're gonna hammer you. You're fried. Your career is done. You're probably going to prison. That's the way the people in DC work. Would I shed a tear if we had a tier one unit of guys who decided, hey, cartel just did, some sort of horrific thing. They're right in front of us. We're bypassing, this border station, and we're going to go get them. And they did it, and were successful and came back. I would not shed a tear. The thing is that it's routine, because I've been on the border quite a bit, that when we're at any type of port of entry, well, Mexico's on the other side. Man, we have had, and this happened at the Bridge of Americas during when we were doing the Protect the Pope event. The military from Mexico got in a convoy. It was like a 14-vic convoy, and they came over the bridge that's in El Paso, Bridge of the Americas. They came over the bridge onto our side of traffic, turned around, and went back up into Mexico. If we did that, they'd cry foul. They'd try to pull you over. They'll pull guns on you. They will try to arrest you. They will seize your vehicles. You will go to jail, and it'll be an unknown amount of time until you get bailed out of jail. I mean, our politicians are do they just do not care when an American citizen is in a jail over there. It's not friendly territory. Try to go into freaking Mexico. Oh, I accidentally turned into Mexico. I mean, we've seen it multiple times. One was a Marine. He was there for a long time just because he freaking, made a wrong turn. He had his personal guns with him. If it was us doing that to Mexico, the whole world would know about it. Mexico doing it to us every single day, it's just common practice and knowledge at this point. It happens in Texas all the time. And it doesn't just happen exclusively at large POEs, ports of entry, like Bridge of the Americas. It happens all across Texas. Probably happens from here to California, all across the border, especially in the little border checkpoints where, sometimes they're manned and sometimes they're not. It just depends on the time of day. Like over in Eagle Pass, the port of entry will close down at night. Well, I remember getting a call because the cartel got into a gunfight in Nuevo Laredo and decided to bash into from Mexico into Eagle Pass and fight themselves through the city and then come right back into the same port of entry they broke into originally. So they fled back in
Yeah.
Mexico.
Well, do you, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish. I thought you were.
I'm just saying, like, these things happen so much. They're just not really, they're not accounted for public knowledge.
Well, let me give you two things. One is history. I still have the picture on my website where Mexican soldiers dressed up in military uniforms from America were captured on this side of the border. I'm sure you remember that. In fact, you were active in DHS at that time. The other thing I wanted to mention here was wherever those armored vehicles came from that were in the human sector did not cross under the purview of the 16 Border Patrol agents that were in the area. Okay, and this is the thing that really upset them, and that they couldn't get any support from above them, from their own command and control. They got no support. They got no support from the Naval Air Station right there in Yuma, and they wouldn't take their call. So this was some kind of operation going on. What to say, what it was, and I'm skeptical of white hat military, just like you are, Doug. But it's something that comes into my mind because I can't think of anything else that makes sense. And these guys really thought they were going to get overrun. And this is not the first time this happened. About, gosh, Napolitano was the governor then. So what would that have been? About 2009, 2008, when she went to join. Yeah, about 2007, 2008. At Lukeville, Arizona, along the border, the National Guard was down there, supposed to guard the border. But Janet Napolitano, in her wisdom as governor, would not let the National Guard have armed weapons. And there were no bullets in their guns. So when the cartel crossed in vehicles, they had to run for their lives. So this is not, I'm saying this is the kind of thing that goes on there all the flipping time. And here's the other thing that's really interesting. You probably know this better operationally than I do. I'm just repeating what I was told, and I don't know how well I can explain it, but when you're in Border Patrol and you have your command center, like on I-10 or whatever, you have radar access. And their radar access was blocked during this event. I didn't know that till about a week after I was told the story. Does that surprise you?
Well, no. To try and reach out to other assets that are not strictly from your agency, unless they're on air, on station right then, and somebody can talk to whoever's in the sky, trying to raise anybody to say, "Hey, something's going down. You need to get a bird in the air." I mean, that's a lot of higher echelons
Yeah,
of
exactly.
phone calls, right? It's an ass-bleeding process. And so, am I surprised? No. Am I surprised that whatever technology they have to monitor the radar, I'm not surprised about that either. But for it to be blocked, and once again, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Funnier stuff has happened. So.
Well, in the 16-year, I got to back up. In the term of service, I got to be careful what I say here now. Okay, I just opened my big mouth. I better shut up because I don't want to give away anything. But I'm just going to say this. Paul Preston, I'll speak for him. He said the people he talked to about this event said it was unprecedented in terms of no support mechanisms, even from within the Border Patrol. Unprecedented was the word. I'm not sure what to make of this. I mean, I want to think it's Trump sending a message, okay, and he's got some military support to do it. I know for a fact that Trump has strong support within the Space Force and within the personnel at Cheyenne Mountain. I know that for a fact. And I have firsthand sources that know this. But that doesn't mean they can command armored vehicles to cross a border in an unknown location, not the Yuma sector. So wherever they cross, Doug. Then they had to make their way across the terrain, okay, coming into dusk to get into that area. And they were performing military. One guy was there was a veteran like you, and he said they were clearly engaged in battle tactics with armored vehicles, and it looked like a dress rehearsal. That's the way it was described.
Well, here's the thing. If it is our special operations guys, like let's say CAG Delta, people know them as Delta. If it's CAG, and they're performing a dry run, as what we would call it, I don't know. There's so many places to do that at besides the border. But if they felt like they needed to go down to the border and see what they can get away with,
There you go.
I mean, those boys will do it.
Okay, but
And
this happened when the drone stuff was going on too, and I wonder if it was tit for tat.
don't know. I mean, if they are getting any type of actionable intelligence that is telling them, hey, you need to spin up whatever squadron, which is what Delta rolls from, whatever squadron, get them going. And go to this pause, this position, this grid coordinate, that they're going to go do it. If they get ordered to go do it, they're going to go do it. Now, is Trump trying to send a signal? Truthfully, that would be a stupid thing to do. That'd be a very brazen act because, for one, he's not the president. He
Yeah, that's
doesn't
true.
have the ability, and you're only going to compound yourself more and more into the hole you're digging by sending an unauthorized operation without the commander in chief's orders. You're going to screw every one of those guys if they get caught. So I don't think that Trump would order to do that. Now, there's rumor that Trump is talking about actually using special operations to do HVT strikes, let's just say high value target strikes into Mexico, kill or
Cartel,
capture
cartel drug
for
centers.
cartel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've heard
I'm
the same thing.
I am 100% for it.
So am I. So am I.
One hundred
But
percent for it.
I agree with your assessment. It's too early, and it would be foolhardy for anyone to participate under the orders of a non-president. I totally agree with you. Okay, it's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. I want to bring up Syria before we have to close. I'm of the opinion with Syria that it's almost a non-event at this point because it looks like Putin and Trump really want to work together, and Putin's just trying to outlast the provocations of Biden and Zelensky. And also Russia just had its major port that they'll need for Middle East combat in Aleppo compromised now that Assad's gone. So this is a big win for NATO and actually the US and Israel too. So this is a big deal. I think Assad going to Russia is a non-event, unless Biden's people just do something insane like launch a nuke. What do you think?
So I actually do think it is a big event, and here's why. Under Biden, the Taliban was installed as the government of Afghanistan. Under Biden, Iraq completely deteriorated, which Iraq is a corpse. It's corrosive all the time, but we still have troops there. Syria now has had its government fallen, chased out, and is now giving over to Al-Qaeda. So a U.S.-backed, at one point in time, terror organization is in charge of Afghanistan. A U.S.-backed, at one point in time, involved with terror organization that we went and actually fought in Iraq, is now in charge of Syria. All right. I don't see how that's a win for Jordan, who's one of our allies, or used to be. They were our ally whenever we were fighting in Iraq.
I don't think it's
I
a
don't
win
see
for them
how,
either.
well, I don't see how it's beneficial to Egypt, who we still are kind of quasi allies with. I
Right.
don't see how it's beneficial to Saudi Arabia. I don't see how it's beneficial to Turkey, but Turkey was involved.
Yeah, I know.
Turkey out, Erdogan was outright involved. Hey, are you in NATO or are you in BRICS? Or whose side are you on? Because he was funding a group of terrorists that I would say we funded. And they were fighting against an organization, against a man, a dictator, whom Russia was propping up and protecting. But Turkey and Russia are on the same side. So what happened is you have a Gazprom. Gazprom is owned by Vladimir Putin. That's what makes the man a trillionaire. He's one of few trillionaires in the world, just very few people know about it. So they wanted that pipeline to come from Russia, Ukraine, down to Europe, and then into Syria, and then over, anywhere else it can go. And one of the big tit for tat reasons for why we were supposedly in Syria with Hillary Clinton is to not allow that oil access pipeline to get into Syria from Russia. Remember, I mean, in 2015, Putin said, hey, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, we're going to have to nuke DC. And she said, well, if I become president, it'll be a no-fly zone in Syria and we're going to knock down every single MiG that's in the sky.
Debate number two, you're exactly right.
So here's what's interesting. We were leading strikes against this organization protecting Assad when, under Trump's administration, we were fighting ISIS, but also investigating Assad because supposedly he used chemical weapons to attack his own people. And so we had fighting ISIS, fighting Syria, trying to take down Assad. Assad wanted to go to the dinar-backed gold, just like who? Just like Gaddafi, just like Saddam Hussein. So now we took that dude out of power, and it's immediately created a vacuum, and Al-Qaeda immediately got into it. Well, guess what's left over? The entire military apparatus of Syria, which was given by a bunch of different countries during this operation in Syria. It's documented to have 10 to 12 other nations that had their men and their hands involved in it. So a coalition, a confederate of countries had came together, had funded these guys, and the same groups. Have you seen currently that the new level of warfare is not nation force warfare like the US military? Instead, we will send mercenaries to go and fight. The same thing with Russia. They're sending the Chechnyans and then their mercenary force to fight. Well, and then the mercenary force for France got sent into Ukraine to then try and help the Ukrainians repel the Russians. Well, now you have a new mercenary force that is comprised of a hodgepodge of different terrorist organizations that are now all working together in a coalition to fight against another nation state. This is a nation state. And this is someone that is very, very strong ties with Iran, very strong ties with Iraq. In fact, Iraq and Iran had their military assets in there trying to help fight for Assad to defend Aleppo, to defend Damascus. And I mean, they were defeated, they were chased out. I don't understand what I don't know, but what I can tell you is that this was something that was organized. It's not a spur of the moment. They've been waiting for this. And are they waiting for Donald Trump to become president, then to take down Assad and then negotiate? Because if I was the Taliban, I would be shaking in my boots right now with the fact that Trump is becoming president again. And if you're this Al-Qaeda organization, you should be questioning all of your current status and your goals, because Trump is just as likely to come in there and flatten all of you. I mean, so is his personality. But Trump says he doesn't want any new wars. So are they going with the fact if, Trump doesn't want any wars, but we took out a dictator who was suppressing the people and blah, 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 we'll negotiate.
He'll
Just
take
like how
out
the
their leaders,
Taliban will negotiate.
Doug. He'll take out those terrorist leaders, I guarantee you. If they don't play ball with him, he'll kill them like
That's it.
he did
That's
before.
it, though. If they don't play ball, playing ball means there has to be an American interest in Syria. And if it is an American interest in Syria, then it's for us to get that deep water port so that we can keep our assets in the Red Sea. And because the next thing is we have to fight Yemen. Donald Trump is going to be faced with, at this point, I think it's like four or five different battle spaces, but the Red Sea is definitely one of them. It's a contested area for the Middle East and for navigable ship traffic. So you have to solve that problem. Well, if this Al-Qaeda organization, which is also affiliated with the Yemeni fighters, the Houthis, and all these, I don't see how you negotiate with this man where you've been attacking his military at the same time. So it's like it's a one big pot that's just getting stirred up right before Trump becomes president. It's like we're trying our hardest to start World War III, but there's a restrainer. There's a restrainer going on that's keeping all these nation states, which I would say would have the right to go in and repel this organization and destroy it. I mean, we did that to ISIS. Why wouldn't we do it to them? Because someone wanted Assad out. Someone wanted him out. Not Russia. Russia wanted him in there because of Gazprom. So if it's not for Gazprom, then it's for Saudi Arabia, most likely, so that they can put their pipeline into that area. That's what I think.
Wonder if there's any linkage with oil, natural gas, and the pipelines planned for Gaza.
Well, yeah, I mean that's Israel. That's their Leviathan
Exactly.
project.
But I wonder if it's not connected.
Well, the Saudis and the Israelis are apparently not on speaking terms right now. Strangely enough, Israel is not really on speaking terms with anybody, except for America and maybe Britain. So Israel is stirring a hornet's nest for itself, and it does not have a way to fight its way out of that area without additional assets from other foreign nations that have an actual huge military presence. As good of fighters as the Israelis are, as advanced in their technology as they are, they don't have the numbers. Like there's like less than what, 9 million people in Israel. Half of those citizens, by the way, are Russian. I think that's actually very interesting. It's like 3 million of them are Russian. But when you're trying to pick a fight with Iran, there's 90 million people in Iran. You're going to lose that fight all day long when you look at the data. So whatever is happening, it's pawns being moved on a chessboard. All right. All I can tell you is this, from my perspective, war in the Middle East is not done. Peace ain't here. And I don't see anyone bringing peace anytime soon. And
Well,
I'm going to keep my eye on that person.
I have another idea along these lines, though. Trump may have told Putin, don't come to the aid of Syria. It's interesting he didn't bring forces to bear to protect Assad's interests, because Aleppo is a big deal if you're going to go to war. So let's say maybe Trump and Putin cut a deal. You let Assad go, okay, our interests will eventually take over and we can share Aleppo. I'm just throwing that out for speculation. I'm not saying I know anything, I don't, but it's
Al-Qaeda being installed is completely destabilizing. We can agree on that. It's
yeah, I agree.
destabilizing.
I agree. But the jewel there is still Aleppo for Putin. And the fact that he didn't come and defend that, to me, was, I thought for sure, okay, this is where Russia gets involved. That's what I thought was coming. And I was stunned when Russia didn't respond. And because things are going so well in Ukraine right now, man, Ukraine's collapsing as we speak. He had the forces to divert, to stop what was going on in Aleppo. The Russians could have stopped it in an afternoon. And I'm shocked that he didn't. And then I'm thinking, did he make a deal with Trump? Is there a bigger agenda? And we can only speculate as to what it is. Hey, I want to mention one thing here before we have to close, and we can get in as much as we can here in the 12 minutes we've got left. But I am so ecstatic that Harmeet Dhillon is now going to be the Assistant Attorney General, and she's going to be in charge of the Civil Rights Division. She went to extraordinary means as a defense attorney to protect Christians who were being persecuted in COVID. She did a wonderful job of that. Tucker used to feature her a lot before he was let go. I think this is such a good move by Trump. I'm not in love with all his appointments, but this one, I said, man, you got someone there that's going to fight for every person's religious freedom in this country. She tried to take over the RNC, Doug. She ran against Ronan McDaniel, who's a Romney, corrupt as hell, and anti-MAGA, and GOP Rhino Deluxe, just like Mitt Romney. And they rigged the election against Harmeet. Otherwise, she'd have been the RNC chair. But the Trump forces rallied and forced good old Ronan McDaniel to hit the road. And this is what I'm leading to, and I want your opinion on this. I think the Democrats can't steal enough votes to win another election anywhere. The estimates are they stole 20 million votes this time. I think we're going to see two political parties, but I think the Democrats are going to fold to a large extent and they're going to be dispersed. I think it's going to be MAGA versus GOP rhinos down the road.
I think there's going to be three political parties.
Boy, does that break with tradition, Doug?
I think you're going to have the Republican Party, you're going to have the Democratic Party, and then you're going to have this new, and I've been talking about this for years now, you're going to have a new Communist Party, a Communist America Party, which is already there, it already exists, but it is gaining in attention and in sympathetic support from the younger generation. It's nowhere near the size, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be to make waves. And that may just be the point for destabilization, and that is just to make waves.
Are you talking about the Democratic Socialist Party and so many Democrats are in it, and it's the first cousin to the Communist Party?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who to lump into there, but I know if you call yourself a socialist or a communist, not an American. So you probably would fall in that category. But I see that growing. I feel like there must be one at this point, because we've seen so many things come up from this domestic terrorist movement in America, and it's all related to communism and socialism. None of it is like, you don't see this great surge of, people trying to reenact Mel Gibson from The Patriot with an American flag charging into anybody. It's all mask wearing Antifa communists, these extremist socialists, people that, I don't know, they all have the little red book on them. That's what I see eventually coming. I hope Harmeet does a good job. I've said this before, and not to change subject, I have given up on the political apparatus of this country, so I'm focusing on other things elsewhere. It's mind numbing at this point. I just pray that Honestly, man, that God's will be done, and that these people will
Agree with that.
do what is the best for the American people. But saying that, well, you better get rid of Bilderberger, and you better get rid of all these other organizations as well, and stop
World
going to.
Economic Forum, number one.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I want to give you a crazy thought process here. Going back
We
to
got
Syria.
two minutes.
Okay, so everyone, just think about this for a second. Maybe I'm crazy, and I think I am sometimes. Isaiah 17, verse 1 says, "Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap." What if the goal here is to preemptively destabilize, to bring about World War III, the rebuilding of the Third Temple? The thought process of this is that there has to be some ultra climatic war that brings about the eventual death of everyone on the face of the earth, and then the man of peace is presented. He calls for peace. He agrees, or he confirms an agreement of many nations. They go into peace, and then we've got tribulation.
Yeah,
If you
you got me at hello there because you absolutely, Doug, you're right. I've wondered the same thing with the Third Temple. I've wondered the same thing with Damascus because that takes me into the tribulation. Absolutely.
What if they're just putting these guys in there to further enhance this and try to speed it up themselves? We know that's a tactic of Iran, actually. They want chaos
The Mullahs,
and World War III for the Mahdi. So if Damascus is a ruinous heap, let's just far-fetched idea out there. If Damascus is a ruinous heap, if Israel is being attacked and being surrounded, you've got Al-Qaeda, you've got ISIS, you've got the Taliban. Well, if Syria now has weapons grade, military weapons grade equipment, and they're using it to attack anyone, and the U.S. decides, hey, it's time to go over there and bring the wham hammer to Damascus, we could be the ones that eventually tear Damascus down finally.
I think you could be right on the money with that. It is a concern of mine. I don't want to believe that this administration that has won this election is going to move in that direction. But again, anything is possible.
May not have the ability to avoid it.
Yeah, I'm going to remain optimistic, and I hope if Jamie doesn't do it, people like Jamie Walden do. Go to Washington, exert spiritual influence, make our administration be more godlike. I'm right there with that view, and I'll tell you, I'm going to keep an eye on this the way you expressed it. I tend not to think that's what's going to happen with this administration, but I can't discount it either, Doug. And so I'm going to keep a watchful eye. Real quick, we got about 30 seconds. Tell people how they can follow your good work on American Vindicta.
So we're over there on YouTube still, which is a miracle in itself.
I'm not.
Still on Rumble. Yeah, you're over there on Rumble. We don't post a lot on Rumble, so that's kind of like our backup channel. So if you don't see us anymore on YouTube, because I said something bad again, then we'll be on Rumble. We also have our training company, Vindicta Solutions, that has a YouTube channel. So if you could please go over there and become a channel member or help us out with subscribers. We will be
Absolutely.
posting a lot more information in regards to training and how to better protect yourself. They'll be posted on there.
Right. Very good.
Outside of that, man, that's all I got.
Well, real quickly, follow us also on the commonsenseshow.com. Sign up for our newsletter. It's located in the upper right-hand corner. And put your email in. You'll get daily updates from what we do. And I promise we don't sell your data. I'm not YouTube or Facebook. Doug, thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And I'm Dave Hodges. He's Doug Thornton. And we will see you back here again next time.